Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Childcare Bar and Grill podcast. Jeff Johnson here with Lisa Murphy and Bethany Corey.
Hello,
how you
hello,
doing?
Hello.
If you were listening to the last couple episodes with Bethany, I think we took care of a little bit of our sound issue. We should be okay. But Bethany's so delightful, even if she's a little bit choppy, she's worthy of podcasting with. So, what's the topic for this episode?
So we're going to talk about when we don't like one of the kids that we have in our care.
Ooh. Okay, that sounds delightful.
It does.
How are we gonna start?
So I was telling my husband, I was like, I don't mind if this is a therapy session. So I used to have a child. I'm a family child care provider for those who don't know me. And I used to have a child that we just clashed completely, and it was like every day was a struggle, and it was mostly because we were so similar.
Of course.
The annoying things he did were the annoying things I did. So it was like there wasn't enough room. And he has gone off to school. He will be in first grade this year, so he hasn't been around for 2 years. He did preschool and then kindergarten. And another little boy, we'll call him Aaron because that's his name. I was trying to think of a fake name, but I couldn't. It's okay. I love him. But he has just been rough to be around. And maybe? It's kind of late, I would say maybe the last 6 months or so.
So
maybe longer.
Pre-COVID,
yeah. And it's, I mean, like, the other children in the program don't want to be around him most of the time. Like, he's just difficult to enjoy.
Okay, pause. What specifically has changed? Paint the listeners a before and after behavior.
Ooh.
Description.
So, okay, so we...
Words, yeah. That we don't know what they mean.
Yeah. So I would say for most of his life, he was sort of a loner, and he always had big ideas and loved to work. So he would go off and he would be the kid like hauling the gallons, jugs of water to like do something, or moving the tires to build a construction or something like that. And now it's like, he's got those same ideas, but wants to be integrated into the rest of the group. And his job is at overseer, and also to his sister and me, a mansplainer. Like, he lets us both know that, like, I know it's sad. He's only five, but his job, it's like, well, you don't get it. Like, things fall to the ground because of gravity, right? That's why it happens. So
would it be safe to say, would it be fair to say that he was more of an independent explorer of your space, and now he's wanting to be more group oriented? And maybe would it be safe to say, if that's accurate, that he just doesn't know how?
Oh, it definitely is. It's, yeah, no, I would definitely say that. And so, like, so the other child that I would butt heads with, he's been back since COVID hit full time. And, well, when I've been open anyways. And like one day he just looks at, Aaron and he goes, "I don't like how you're treating me," and just walks away. And I looked at Brian, I was like, look at his executive functioning skills. Like, he knows that he just needs to leave. And so a lot of it is just, you know, there's like the age difference. Like, one child is 6 and a half and the other child's 5 and a half. So like, they've got different social skill levels. But it makes it, I said to Brian, I was like, he was like, well, that's good that it's not just one child that is like causing disruption all the time. And I was like, or is it my problem because I'm seeing disruption all the time?
I was going to say,
regardless of what kid is doing it. He is quite mean, and he's much larger than the other children. He's so got the curse of being like a 5-year-old who looks like an 8 or 9-year-old. Like, he's just a big kid. And his default is, when he gets frustrated, he's lashing out physically towards the other children. And so that's like a rough issue. So it's not just like, you know, like, I don't like what you're saying to them or something like that. I don't know.
Well, I'm probably overly hyper-focused on a couple of the things that you said that might or might not.
Go for it.
Well, like being mad and wanting to hit stuff is cool, but you can't hit a person. So, you know, let's go find something that you can hit. And you can hit
right
until you're done hitting. And this is going to be how I consistently deal with it. I think maybe,
yeah. And that's what we do. I guess, I don't know where this is going, but, you know, we do the, if you need to be upset and go be destructive, like, take that shovel and go
dig a hole,
tear apart the, yeah, dig a hole, or we've got a dead tree that the kids can just, take their aggression out on with various sharp tools. Jeff?
Well, I had an idea for those kids that need to hit. I had an idea. I haven't written it up yet, but an idea for something for them to be hit. So you take a length of rope, like a 1/4-inch rope, and you collect a bunch of empty plastic milk jugs, like the 1-gallon and 1/2-gallon jugs. And then you tie one end of the rope to the handle of one of those jugs, and then you string 6 or 8 of those jugs on there. And then you hang that up from a tree branch or a hook on the ceiling, and then you let them just beat the heck out of it, because it makes a great noise. It's going to swing back and forth. So it's going to be a moving target. They can whack it with bats, and eventually it's going to be all beat up, and you got to take it down and put on new jugs. But
it's a great idea.
It's going to be real
That's
durable.
Fabulous.
Like,
yeah,
a pinata. An ongoing pinata.
Yeah, a pinata that's not going to break.
Yeah.
And it's hard because I think a lot of it is like, I've become complacent, and, you know, our kids in the program are super independent, and, you know, I can, for the most part, I've got 2.5 to 6.5 right now, years old. And I can basically, you know, sit with my cup of tea on the sidelines and life goes on. And so for me, it's like, I feel like I have to be referee more, which that's just a mindset I need to change from.
I'm also wondering, you know, though, Bethany, do you feel that you saw him upon his reentry the way you used to see him, instead of maybe seeing if you both have evolved, matured, changed, morphed?
Well, this is a child who didn't go to school. He's been there. he's been with me the whole time. He hasn't gone to this year. He'll go to school. He'll go to kindergarten. I think it's definitely, I mean, there's always those, I don't know, those little holdovers and biases that you have.
So you said for both of these kids, it was, they were similar to you. And I find that a lot. Growing up, my daughter and I clashed a lot because we are a lot alike. But I mean, what are you going to do? And so my question is, what are the things about him that you don't like, that you don't like about yourself? And what are you doing about those things?
Thanks, Jeff. I really appreciate you bringing that to light.
Well, we had our friend of the show, Tamar Jacobson, on the show not too long ago for a couple episodes. And we kind of got into this, that residual chaos that some of us carry from our childhoods and our existing lives that we bring into our interactions with kids have a huge impact. And I'm guessing this is at least a tiny piece of that puzzle, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love Tamar.
I know you
I'm
do.
Fully on blessing. I am fully on board with embracing my own fucked upness. I think for me, I'm fortunate since we're on summer break that I've got Brian to be my co-teacher, and I can tag out when I'm feeling the stress. But also, I've tried, especially like, you know how it is, like you just complain about things and then all of a sudden you go, oh, I've been complaining about this one thing forever. And so I've been trying to be more understanding of Aaron and of the difficulties that he's facing. Like he has really interesting ideas about like how things should be. If he's building something, like it needs to be a certain way. I got a video of him and the toddler. He's building like a ramp for cars and the toddler's going, it's ready. And he's like, no, Natalie, it's not ready. And then he puts another piece and she goes, it's ready? He's like, no, it's not ready. And then finally he looks at me and he's like, she just won't listen to me. And I'm like, I know. It's because she's a toddler. But I feel like that moment, I'm like, okay, he's just a child. Like, he's not understanding things the same way that I am. Like, I need to just give him some understanding and some love. And some space and just like,
right. And I think also putting
do no damage,
but also I think there's room to verbally intervene there potentially, not giving anything specific, but like, it sounds like she's really excited for you to be done, or you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Sounds like she's really can't wait for you to let her be a part of this or something. And
yeah.
Plopping that kind of language sometimes might help.
Absolutely. I love sports casting. And it's so much easier. And it's been interesting because it's all been in the last couple of weeks. Mm. And I'll say things to Aaron about him interacting with a toddler. And I'm like, that's exactly what I need to say to myself interacting with him. You know, just that reminder of like, he's a kid. Like, and not thinking about the 50 other things going on.
So, Lisa, have you ever had this experience with a kid?
Oh, never. No.
Thanks.
I mean, I think it's universal that often the kids that you get frustrated with are, they are showing just personality traits that you share. And And I think early on in your career, you might not realize that that might be why that one kid is setting you off, but it's because
right.
you know, you might say, oh my God, they're so stubborn. But then, you know, if you had a very dear friend be like, and you're not, you know, so it's like, oh shoot. Oh, maybe that's why that bugs me a little bit. I think not early in my career, I don't want to misrepresent it, but I as I grew in the profession, I started to realize that I didn't need to like all of the kids in the space, but I needed to respect all of the kids in the space, you know?
Yeah.
And you know that you've heard the workshops, you know that we talk a lot about that, but making room for everybody here. Cause I really do believe, and Jeff knows this too, I don't think you're going to fall in love with every single kid that walks in the door, but you will be able to bring a level of respect and understanding to every kid that walks in the door.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've had those kids. I think we all have. I think it's one of those things. We should start a list. The things that all early childhood providers experience, but don't want to talk about. I think this would be
a taboo list.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, I think this would be on that list.
Yeah,
and I mean, there are probably a handful of people that haven't had this, but I think if you're in the profession for any length of time, I think it's something you experience in different gradients with kids. And I mean, it can be really challenging. It sounds like, I mean, Bethany went through her list of she knows she needs to do this and this and this, and those that sounded like a good list to me. And the truth is, those are hard things to do when that kid is crawling under your skin and scratching on your last nerve. So I know I come back to this a lot, but a lot of dealing with this goes back to self-care. If you're making time and taking care of yourself and your needs are being met, it's a lot easier to deal with that child. If you're stressed and anxious and then that child starts scratching on your last nerve, it's more likely that you're going to respond in an inappropriate way. Like, I hate you, Johnny. And that doesn't do...
You're not allowed to say that.
That doesn't do anybody any good. And so making sure you're making time for self-care is kind of a preventative, a prophylactic for those situations when you're dealing with those kids.
And you know, Jeff, I'm going to add to that because the gig, as some of our listeners know, I had my first back post-COVID on the road gig yesterday. And, you know, we brought up some of we brought up self-care as we were wrapping up. It was a super wicked small group. So we were able to kind of, you know, take some detours with the conversation and stuff. And one of the things I realized is that we need to, even though we know, we have to be able to remind people about the importance of self-care. Like sometimes I feel like, oh my gosh, we have to remind people, but we do. We really, really, really do have to remind people that it is okay and not selfish when you take care of yourself. I think that's one of the refrains that we might think that we've oversaid a lot, or we don't need to keep coming back to that. But especially right now, I think that people need the affirmation. Like, they know about self-care. I don't think anybody needs to be taught what self-care actually is, but I really do think that there needs to be consistent reminders that it's not selfish.
Well, it's on that taboo list too. We want to be islands unto ourselves. We don't want to look like we're tired or weak or angry or those kind of things. And the truth is, when you get a room of people together that do this work, it comes up as a topic that most of us experience at least some of the time. So it's absolutely important. I think it's a piece of it. I think another challenge in those situations is not letting your bias towards and against certain children shine too brightly. I mean, there are kids that you click with that are easier and they kind of become the favorites. And then there are kids that are the challenges. And then there are the kids that are kind of in the middle there and trying to run a program where everybody gets the attention they need and you're not favoring or off put or letting the group see that you're off put by that other child. It's kind of a dance, isn't it?
It is. I'm going to interrupt. Sorry, Bethany, if you were going to jump in there. I think it would be beneficial for staff who trust each other greatly to be able to actually list out specifically what it is that bugs them, right? To barf it out. What is it about it? You know,
that's so important.
Let's get a name to it, because I would also venture to guess that a lot of time it's not necessarily the child that's pressing the teacher's buttons. It's the people the kid comes with.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I've seen plenty of situations where the child's adults were causing tension between the caregiver and the child because those relationships weren't working. So that's kind of a sister problem to this one.
Sure.
Hi, Kane.
Yeah. So you end up taking it out on the kid, perhaps, but really it's, you know, mom or dad or grandma. Everybody say hi to Kane.
Okay.
He was glad I could.
And it's not just people. It's not just people, though. Like, so this last week, I knew that's going to be the start of my week. And as we got, you know, Wednesday hit, then Thursday, and I felt like my body was just getting more tightly coiled of, okay, my vacations is coming, and like I just have to make it through the day. And it was midway through Thursday, and I was like, okay, like I'm recognizing this response in my own body and my reaction to everything around me. So like I just need to relax a little bit, take a deep breath, and you know, we're all feeling, you know, because it's that stress response of like when you're packing and your dog goes crazy because he knows you're going to leave for the weekend or whatever. You've just got to relax and give everybody room to breathe.
And I think room to grow and acknowledge that, that we as adults, as humans, can be guilty of the self-fulfilling prophecy, right? We see what we are looking, or how do you say that? We see what we're looking for. We find what we're looking for. And so if I'm constantly looking to reaffirm that this kid is a challenge in my program, then I'm going to only see those behaviors. So there is room to flip our lens occasionally, which is typically, like, I don't want to say the advice, but it is when people call and ask about, you know, what do I do about this one and this challenge and the challenge. And I always say, I want you to go back and write down 20 of the positive things that he brings to the table. And sometimes people are like, I just never really took the time to see anything other than what I was only allowing myself to see. So that doesn't mean you're automatically going to fall in love with the child.
Right.
But it does mean that you're training, almost retraining your own self to start seeing that the kid does bring more to the table, but maybe you have just been locked and loaded. You were in a pattern of lock and loading on maybe what we might call the negative.
Yeah, well, it goes back to what we were talking about with Josie, the librarian, a couple of weeks ago. We our brains have this slight bias towards the negative, and so we get locked in on paying attention to that. And so in these situations, it's good to pull back and look for that, not only look for that list of positives, but look for solutions, become solution-oriented in those situations. This kid is driving me crazy, and here's a list of 5 things I can do to make everybody's life a little bit better while we're going through it.
Yeah, because the kid might be totally 100% in the correct, not to use black and white language, but it could totally be the adult. My experience is that it's usually the adult having an overreaction to a behavior that is usually like typical, or it's a behavior that always has been a part of what this child has brought to the table. Doesn't mean it's negative, doesn't mean it's positive, but you know, but it's not any different than it has been. So why am I getting overly agitated perhaps today?
Yeah. I want to throw a kind of a tangential idea, is that a word? Here, that's kind of, so some people have problem with individual kids, but there are plenty of people out there working in this field who have issues, don't like certain developmental stages. And for example, if you don't like changing diapers and you work in the infant room,
well, you should not have accepted a job.
You shouldn't be working in the infant room. If you don't like being asked why questions over and over and over again, you maybe shouldn't be with children or that are at the age if they're doing, well, yeah, maybe at all. But I mean, there are, and so there are these discrete little moments in development where kids go through these stages. Maybe they're going through a fussy stage at separation time at the beginning and end of the day where it just drives people, it just pushes their buttons for whatever reasons. And so just being able to look at a child and saying, okay, they're in that stage and 6 months from now, it's going to be different and I'll be through it.
So I have a couple things to that. So sometimes, cause I say the same thing and you know that, Jeff, I talk about that. If you know, you've got certain reactions to things, you have no business accepting a position. Like if biting sets you off, you are not allowed to work in a toddler room, period. However, to that, some people don't realize that they have those huge reactions and responses until they're actually in that environment. So at that point, it becomes on the adult to be an adult and be like, whoa, I either need to get some coaching or some mentoring or something here, or I need to remove myself from the situation. But me expecting the behavior to stop because I don't like it, that's not okay.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Fighting is going to happen whether you like it or not. Hitting, screaming, yelling, tattling, rolling around, rough and tumble play, all of that is going to happen. So if you don't like it, I don't need you to like it. I either need you to make room for it, or I need to either find you a different age group, or I need to perhaps counsel you out of the profession. Because if your laundry list of stuff that sets you off, you know, is like 60% of what kids do, this might not be a good career choice for you.
Yeah, yeah. Something. Bethany, talk because something fell out of my head.
I have nothing. Sorry.
Oh man, it was so profound. It was fucking amazing.
I bet it was.
The thing I was gonna
You're
say.
You're a genius. Yeah.
Jeez. Everybody's.
I think Lisa said it all. So
everybody's really experiencing a sense of loss right now. I can, I guess we'll have to come back with it in another episode. Any other thoughts on this one before we wrap it up? I think we're good. I remember what it is. We can hold multiple feelings at the same time. We can dislike a child, but still think they're creative and amazing and have warm feelings for them as well. And I think that's something we maybe need to remind ourselves of sometimes. Because when it sounds kind of harsh when you're talking to like, I really don't like that kid, and you can have that feeling, but you can also think they're all these other good things as well, or can't you?
You can. I also, though, for a quick second while you were talking, I allowed myself to think, I didn't allow myself. I wondered, where are the kids having a podcast where they're talking about, do you ever hate that when that Miss Lisa bitch walks in the room and I just, you know, she has such great ideas, but I just can't stand her.
Like, well, I was going to ask I was totally going to ask that 23 minutes ago. I was going to ask Bethany what these children thought of her.
Okay, are you ready for what they think of me?
Yes.
So we've got, in our backyard, we've got a double garage with a little shed attached in the backyard. And the shed is now called the play shed, and all of their toys, loose parts, are in there. So I'm in the house with my adult niece who lives with us, and I had the baby with me, and I go, I haven't seen the big kids for a while. So I walk outside. And one of them is on a stack of tires, like a queen on a throne. And she's like giving orders to all the boys, because it was the one girl. She's giving to the three boys, she's giving orders. And I back away slowly and run into the house and I go, they're plotting my demise. Like, I knew I was done for.
They're coming for you.
They are.
They're coming for me.
So.
Well,
I have no illusions.
I think that's important to think is that, and I'm not saying don't share your honest feelings with colleagues and coworkers in your tribe, right, to help process it so you don't get stuck there. But I also think that there is room to go, maybe the kid doesn't like me either.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Just along those lines, Bethany, I'm going to need contact information for both those boys so we can have them on the show and give them a chance to, we'll play them audio clips and give them a chance to offer rebuttals. That would be great.
Anytime, anytime.
This has been the Child Care Buyer and Grow Podcast. We'll be back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good boy, Kane. Good boy. Good boy, Kane.
Isn't he? Kane want to be on the show?
Well, he's thank you, star. Bethany. Now you can go get seriously drunk.
I'm already seriously drunk. I'm going to make Brian go get me some french fries somewhere.
Ooh. Well, enjoy those french fries.
Well, tell Brian.
He's on a diet, so he has to.
Yeah, whatever.
And he sat in here and listened through it all. And he
so I'm going to say, Bethany, your poor Wi-Fi wasn't helping with the sounding not drunk situation at all.
Oh, I'm so drunk. But I was told I had to be.
Well, she follows directions.
She does follow directions.
I'm a good girl.
Well, then you spend the rest of the afternoon doing whatever Brian tells you to.
There you go.
No, thank you.
All right.
Well, should we pull the plug?
Pull the plug.
See you in a little bit with Sam.
See you with Sam. Bye, Bethany.
Thanks, Bethany. Bye. Bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.